live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go. Happy Friday.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
Hope you're well. Me? Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Yes, I'm going.
You want to be the first caller for Lou? You can get in line now if you like. But sometime before 6:20. Dial us up, 312-981-7200. Thanks to the White Sox yesterday. Very frustrating loss so early in the season. Frustrating. Run in the 8th, 3 in the 9th, 2 in the 10th, and it's over. Yep. Stupid cheating Tigers.
It was the snow.
And Dave, when was the last time the Blackhawks did not make the playoffs? Was it 2009?
They made them for 10 straight seasons.
So it would have been 2007 then. Would have been
It was the 08 season.
08 was the last time they didn't make the playoffs. World was different then. World was a different place. 2008 season, so that would have been 08-09? Or would have been 07-08?
They made them...
08-09, Super Joe? Is that what you're telling me? 07-08.
07-08.
07-08.
08-09 was the last time they didn't make
it. 07-08.
Yeah, they were in the Western Conference Final in 08-09.
They lost to Detroit. 07-08.
Think about how different the world was then.
Yeah.
George Bush was still president. Donald Trump was still on, what was he on, Wife 2 then? I don't even know.
That was the Ivanka years.
I don't even know.
Ivana years. Sorry.
So different. So different. Hawks final home game tonight against the Blues, and then we're off to the summer. Long, hot summer for the Hawks to rejuvenate, revitalize, re-things, re-blank things.
Re-hockey.
Re-hockey it.
That's the catchphrase for this year.
John McDonough yesterday said Joel Quenneville and Sam Bowman are coming back. Of course
right.
He did. It's not a surprise. It's the right answer.
Yes.
So, final Blackhawks home game tonight, and then what? One more on the weekend?
Tomorrow they go to Winnipeg to close things out.
Yeah.
This is the way the NHL set it up. You'd be playing teams in your own division down the stretch, so
mm-hmm.
teams could have a say on
mm-hmm.
the playoff picture.
Mm-hmm. You sound doubtful.
No, I just couldn't.
Well, they have a chance. I mean, they can knock St. Louis pretty much out with a win tonight. I mean, St. Louis still, they're neck and neck with Colorado. Colorado lost last night, so St. Louis still has hope.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We could break their hearts twice.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I prefer the playoffs than the heartbreaking role. So let's get back to that.
Yeah, I think that's a better option.
Yeah. Top 6 at 6 right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't kick. Get your kicks.
With the Top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, there's a notion that you have to be unbiased to host a talk show. No, you don't. You can be all the biased you want. You can have a big bias. Look at your big, fat bias. But when you get tied into politics, you're not supposed to be able to have direct, financially directed influence of the airwaves without paying for it and without providing equal time.
Mm-hmm.
Item number one, groups with ties to political operative Dan Proft and host of the WIND Morning Show have used nonprofit cash and political donations to help fund media outlets that one group has called news, another is called political ads, and a third is called propaganda.
Yeah.
Dan Proft is a political PAC operative, and he co-hosts the morning show at WIND. I'll leave it up to everybody else to decide what happens from here.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Quack! The U.S. is considering tariffs on an additional $100 billion in total on Chinese products, including soybeans. This is bad news for American farmers.
It's also bad news if NAFTA goes away. The president of Mexico on CNN earlier this morning saying the billions and billions in corn we buy from the United States, we can get from Brazil. Thank you very much.
Can I ask a question on this? This has sent the markets up, down, up, down, up, mm-hmm. down, up, down. Mm-hmm. Will making a decision on it create a little less volatility, or is it still? Is it always going to be in
flux? I think we're going to have plenty of volatility for the near future. By that, I mean months. Months of volatility. Stock market doesn't like indecision, which is what you're referencing, but right. decision, if it's a bad decision.
Yeah. I mean, at least
the stock markets don't like either.
All right. So I was going to say, even if it's a decision, even if we hit them with 100, they hit us with 150.
Let's make no mistake, right?
Yeah.
This is a trade war.
Right.
I call you a name, you call me another name. I call you a name, you call me another name. That's just the way it works. And this is all about Donald Trump being right. This is not about doing what's right. China should pay more. China's got a lot to answer for. This is not the answer. China, by the way, also holds a tremendous amount of American debt that they could call in at any time. Where's that money going to come from? Quack. A new Chicago public school is being built on the site of 38,000 unmarked graves. Among the dead are patients from an infirmary and a tuberculosis hospital, victims of the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, and Civil War veterans. I had not heard any of this story until late last night. What?
It's an interesting story. It would be a $70 million school on the grounds of a former Cook County poorhouse. And as you said, 38,000 people buried in unmarked graves. This is in the Dunning neighborhood. So it's about Irving, about Schiller Park area, Harlem, by Harlem Irving Plaza, just a little bit south of Harwood Heights. So that's the area that we're talking about. It's a lot of land. There's so many questions here that need to be answered, Steve. Many of these are dead residents who were too poor to afford funeral costs. There's unclaimed bodies and patients from the county's insane asylum. So that's who's buried here. And workers have until April 27th to excavate and clear the site if they're going to do this.
Is there any other place it could go?
Great question. As of now, this is the proposed site. This is the main site. It probably could go somewhere else, but as of now, this is the only site that is so far along in this process.
Well, the truth of the matter is the majority of this country is probably built on somebody's grave in some way, shape, or form, because you don't know. But we do know this, and it does seem like there's an issue here.
Yeah.
However, a site that size not being used in the city limits now seems problematic
right,
as well.
Right. Absolutely.
It's a great story for a movie, though. You want to write a movie about this?
Boy, doesn't that sound cool? Did you know?
Haunted school.
And in reading it, now there's the Illinois State Museum. They say they have jurisdiction over this because of who's buried there. There's a Human Skeletal Remains Act that they have to go through. So there's a lot of hoops to jump through to build it on this site.
Quack. 91-year-old Oak Brook man won $1 million in the Powerball. Robert Shute is a retiree and a lifelong bachelor until he married his wife 9 years ago. Oh, Robert, you could have had it all. He's been playing the lottery since the very first draw in 1974. Going to use some of the money to remodel his home. Nice story.
That's a great story.
I hope he and his wife have a wonderful time. Next, how about Tony Finau? Tony One-Legged Finau.
Who saw that coming?
One-legged.
Tony Hop-Along Finau.
Yep. Peg-leg.
Peg-leg Finau. 4-under, second place at the Masters, only because Jordan Spieth went nuts on a back nine yesterday and reeled off 5 straight birdies.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive. And he didn't even look like he was limping.
No, but he said that he was being very careful not to re-injure it or to... I mean, it's a high ankle sprain. That puts football players out for like a month and a half.
Right. You know why? Because football players are soft.
Compared to golfers?
That's right. Golfers are tough.
You know what he credited, and it sounds strange.
Embarrassment.
Well, there's that. Fire knife dancing.
That's what Sandberg was talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was the fire knife dancing. He says he's used to pain from that, which I guess is...
Well, I know, because I used to see him at the fire dance meetings.
Right.
Oh, quack. Dancing with knives?
What? Dancing with knives. You throw knives up, you throw some fire up, you have a good time.
Is that a band you were in?
No, actually. This was actually my hobby when I wasn't playing.
Dance troupe.
Finally, ranking the 2018 giveaways at the Cubs and the White Sox games, the Hawk solo bobblehead, Star Wars night at the Guaranteed Rate Field, The Wrigley Field scoreboard clock giveaway. The Wilson Contreras laundry hamper. I don't even understand that.
Does it come with his dirty clothes?
I don't think so, but you could ask. The Jim Tomei bobblehead, the Kerry Wood strikeout flag, the White Sox zip pullover, the Cubs hoodie, the 83 road replica jersey, and the 79-81 Cubs road replica jersey. And finally, the Los White Sox soccer jersey. Those are your top. In where's that? The Tribune this morning? ChicagoTribune.com.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
How was the Sox home opener?
Well, we had the best of it. We had sunshine and a nice warm broadcast booth. The sun beating down on us.
People that didn't get credentials to come, nor was invited.
No, I asked. I said, is anyone inviting Lou? Because we need to shut that down if they are.
You put the kibosh on it right away.
You can go to
we don't want him here.
White Sox game you want all year long.
All right, good.
Any one of them.
All right, I'm going to go.
It's cold outside, but it's about to get warm. 50 degrees next week, and then we're on the run. Mm-hmm. Is next week the time to work the lawn?
No. Well, I mean, this is crazy. I mean, it's just awful, right? We're all done with this, and I mean, I get it. We live here, but the fact of the matter is the soil temperature is warming, so that's good. And you can see it even when we get this little snow, nothing sticks. But right now you're in cleanup mode, and you can kind of see when you go through the neighborhoods, the people that have professional landscapers, they're out there already raking and doing some dethatching and aerating, all that kind of stuff. So if you're one that does that, you absolutely can get out there and do that. I do see a lot of landscapers throwing seed down. I think that's more for their customers to see. It's not doing anything. It's just going to get eaten by the birds. So I would save your money and wait a couple more weeks, because until that soil temperature gets above 50 degrees, it's not going to germinate, and the birds are just going to eat it. So give it a little more time. A little bit of cleanup now is fine. It's great to get out there. I mean, I'm hankering to do it as well. I just want to get out there and do some raking and cleaning, which I'm going to do this weekend. So go for it.
How much should it cost? I have no idea what mulch costs. How much should it cost to mulch a house? Standard decent-sized suburban yard.
I mean, it could be $500. It could be $1,000. You know, it all depends on
If the mulch is laced with flakes of gold?
Well, then that's a little bit more expensive, right? But, you know, it's the labor, really. The mulch is cheap. I mean, you know, you can buy, you know, three bags for $10 or something like that if you wanted to buy it yourself. But when landscapers bring it in bulk, you know, they dump it on the back of a dump truck in your lawn, and then it's just the labor for the workers to move it all around.
Plus, three bags, like, you always think if you do it yourself, oh, I can do this. But even 10 bags is nothing.
It's nothing.
It's a lot of work.
Covers
right.
But it doesn't even cover. You have
you
to go to the store like 50 times.
You think you have so much.
Times.
You're like, oh, my gosh. Oh, and then all of a sudden, you're halfway done.
Should we buy the mulch from the Girl Scouts, or should we get it somewhere else?
That would be actually a really
good fundraiser. The Girl Scouts coming to my door. Mulch door to door.
I have some Samoa, and I have some brown mulch.
Hmm. American Weathermakers brings you this happy dance. Sandberg has a question. I have something. You're going to be so proud of me. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You sure you're ready?
Mm-hmm.
The lift handle on one of the toilets in my home is cracked, and I'm going to fix it today.
What?
You mean the flushing handle?
No, the lift handle in the tank, that pulls the flap up.
Okay. So Maureen's going to
fix
it.
Sure, the lift handle. Most people don't call it that, but that's
what do you call it?
A flush handle.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. Okay. Our flush handle broke on two toilets yesterday.
All right, I'll come by your house.
My husband can fix them. He's really good at it.
Are you going to send Steve over to Steve's then?
Yeah.
You know what, Steve and I can fix it. We can call it two Steves in a truck.
Can we get
Steve squared in a truck.
How does that happen in two toilets the same day?
Can we get video?
Yeah, there's a crack.
Can we get video?
It's a cracked lift handle. We had a moment of silence for it.
Yes.
And today I'm going to grab the old kit and from my Ace Hardware store, and I'm going to come back and I'm going
to
fix it.
You just remember you need to know whether it's a front handle or a side.
Oh, yeah, now I know what that is.
Right.
Yeah. And you know what else you have to do, Lou?
An adjustable one, too, if you want to buy that.
Hey, Lou, write this down. Here's what else you have to remember. You have to remember to hold on to the flush handle itself, because otherwise it'll fall off when you take the lift handle off. Mm-hmm.
What do you need to hold on to?
Right now. This is going south fast.
It's not
going
to fall because it comes out the outside.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The nut, by the way, turns the other way.
Are you calling me a nut?
No, but the nut.
I'm guessing he already dropped it.
You tighten it to loosen it.
I got to think, you know, I really thought you'd be more encouraging with this. Is you're just mocking me.
Right. No.
We would like a video of how it goes. So can
we? Well, Daddy's going to drop the phone in the toilet.
Yeah, my hands are going to be very busy.
Yeah. Again.
Carrie's in Sycamore. Hey, welcome to Sycamore. Hey. What's your question, Carrie?
Yeah, hey, Lou, this is great because I was going to call you tomorrow morning anyway. I live in a gorgeous Victorian house that was built in 1896, and everything, all the woodwork, everything is original, which is really cool, and it's structurally sound. Everything's great. However, the windows are giving us a little bit of trouble because sashes break, and they don't go up and down.
Right.
So... what would you recommend? So I don't want window replacements because I'm not going to destroy those beautiful, you know, wood windows. But what would you recommend for like a window, really not replacement, but restoration? Who would I go to?
Well, I mean, if you're going to try and have someone come and take those sashes out and do some, you know, woodworking and putty work, which can all be done. I mean, the thing you have to know is that that's a very expensive proposition, and it's not a long-term solution because of the age and the actual design of those products. And so, I mean, it's really something that you're going to have to find a woodworker / carpenter that wants to come and take the windows themselves and probably have to take them to a shop to rework them and then come back and restain and install. It's a highly specialized proposition. So you're out in Sycamore.
Sycamore.
I don't have a direct recommendation.
We're close enough to like Aurora, Naperville.
Out there. I mean, one of the things that you can try is the NARI website, which is the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, NARI.org, and look for a pure carpentry contractor. That's who you would look for. Someone that can take the trim apart, put new balancers in.
Would they have to replace the glass when they did that?
They would. They could.
I don't want that because I love the old glass. I can see it running.
Again, I don't know, without seeing the how much work needs to be done, it may or may not have to happen.
Thanks, man. Hold on, because I have prizes for you, which I'll tell you about in just a second. First off, Sandberg, you have the final word here. What's your issue?
Lou, I've got paint on clothing. Patrick is painting cardboard at school, and now there's paint, and I can't get it off.
I would say send the clothes to Lou.
So Goo Gone makes a latex.
We've gotten to a point in the relationship now where he doesn't even respond. He just slides right over it.
Right. Goo Gone because we're going to be late. Well, you're already late. Goo Gone makes
a latex. I got enough producers on this show. Answer the question.
Makes a latex paint remover. If you put a little bit on there and then use a little nylon brush gently on the fabric, it should come off.
Thank you.
Goo Gone.
Goo Gone.
Although Joe Romano's Super Joe's suggestion, I think, was really good, too.
What was that?
They become paint and clothes.
Yeah.
Joe's absolutely right about that.
Carrie from Sycamore gets an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. Brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-Minute Man. Call 855-955-HVAC. Join Lou tomorrow, starting at 7 a.m., when he crushes other DIYers like me and our dreams.
Stop it. That's just not true. Hey, real quick, I was driving back from Southern Illinois yesterday listening to the broadcast on the pregame and stuff.
Yeah.
And I know we've talked about this, but it's just so much fun to hear baseball back on WGN radio.
Baseball belongs on this radio station.
Well, everybody did a really nice job, so congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
You too, Steve.
I was mostly just thinking about my toilet. It's 6:34, and your headlines are next.
My doctor also told me to eat more fruit, so I had some Pop-Tarts this morning. You ever look at a Pop-Tarts box? They have directions on there. Can there be a simpler food item than Pop-Tarts? They have a set of toaster directions, which, believe it or not, is more than one step. How could there possibly be more than one step? I can only think of one. Step one, toast the Pop-Tarts. Go ahead, toast them.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
One of the funniest guys in the country, my old friend, who
First correct caller can tell me that comedian's name wins tickets to his show. He's competing with me on New Year's Eve. I don't know that I like this. Vanity Fair called him the funniest stand-up alive. You can get tickets today starting at 10, but we'll tell you all about that after you tell me who it is. 312-981-7200. First correct caller wins tickets to see that guy. Who is that guy? Call and let me know. You ever have a hankering for something you had as a kid that you can't find anymore, Steve?
I'm sorry?
You ever have a you catching the show this morning?
Yeah, yeah.
You ever have a hankering for something you had as a kid, like a kid thing you loved, and you can't find it on the shelves anymore? You ever have one of those?
All the time.
You got one in particular?
You know, I don't know if you remember Beeman's gum. Do you remember?
I remember the name. I wasn't a big gum kid.
It was kind of like a red stick of gum that came in an old-fashioned package, and boy, did it smell good. I crave that from time to time.
Wasn't there a famous cinnamon gum that was red? Like sticks.
I think that's it.
Big Red.
Is that the Big Red? But I also think Beeman's was.
Was it Beeman's?
Yeah. You know what? Lou's Ace Hardware in Edgebrook, they have a whole nostalgia candy and gum section, Steve, and I'm pretty sure they have that.
Ooh.
Remember that.
I have a list of products here that no longer exist. Stuff from all of our childhoods.
Okay.
The original Pudding Pops. Now, you're going to say, no, Steve, I see Pudding Pops all the time. No, I'm talking about the original Pudding Pops. Your chocolate vanilla swirl, your vanilla. The originals, not the ones that are now. The old school ones.
That was going to be mine.
Yeah, you can't find them, right?
Yeah, that was the top of my list, Pudding Pops.
Yeah, man. You can't find them.
Are those the ones that Bill Cosby would promote? Remember he did all those Jell-O Pudding Pop
commercials? I think he did all sorts of Jell-O, didn't he?
Okay.
All facets of the great Jell-O company. Mm-hmm. This one I don't remember. Wonder Balls.
Wonder Balls.
I don't remember those.
I don't remember those either. Were those like bread balls?
Originally
like
called Nestle Magic chocolate balls that contained a toy inside.
Ew.
In the 90s, they were discontinued for presenting a choking hazard. They look like they're about the same size as, what are those chocolates, like individual chocolate balls?
Malted.
The fancy high-end stuff. They come in individual wrappers.
For Easter, those kind of chocolate balls?
Linder.
Linder.
I don't remember this one either. Hi-C Ecto Cooler. ECTO.
Ecto Cooler.
Hi-C High Vitamin C.
Is that a drink?
Hi-C. It's created for the Ghostbusters franchise back in 1987.
Oh, ectoplasma.
Yeah. It's delicious. It's a green drink.
It's green, yeah.
Do you remember it?
Oh, I remember it. We loved it.
Loved it.
All the boys drank it in my grade.
How about Nabisco Swiss cheese crackers?
Oh, yeah. I remember those.
I do remember these. Yeah, these are crackers that looked like slices of Swiss cheese.
Yep.
Why would you kill those? That's a good idea.
Nobody likes Swiss cheese.
Probably. What are you talking about? Cheese.
I like those. Swiss cheese on a sandwich?
It's
come on.
Boring. Swiss,
probably too much fat. They got rid of all the good fat.
Oh, I don't know. There's a few here. Jell-O 0123.
That's the layer stuff?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that.
What do you call that? Parfait?
I call it overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had the three shades.
Never liked Jell-O.
It's like a sherbet of Jell-O. Yeah, like there's no food to Jell-O. No. It's like nothing.
Watch Steve get excited about this one. Hostess Choco Bliss snack cakes.
Okay, see, remember, we had this conversation a couple weeks ago about Chocodiles.
Yeah. Chocodiles.
Yeah, they're essentially devil dogs with chocolate frosting, according to the writers.
And why did they go away, I wonder? What's wrong with these? What's wrong with devil's chocolate? I don't understand.
Why? It's like a precursor to Zingers.
Mm. What Steve is saying is he's been robbed of his childhood.
Right.
Do you remember Doritos 3D?
I do.
They were kind of
a lot of crumbs.
They were kind of bugles.
Mm-hmm.
Remember bugles you could put on your finger? These were Dorito bugles.
I used to love bugles.
You can still get bugles.
Still around, yeah.
They're good.
We get them once in a while. They're too salty.
How about Snapple? Is Snapple still available?
Oh, yeah.
I'll leave it all the time.
But what happened? Why was Snapple used to run commercials all the time? Whatever happened? They don't promote it at all anymore.
I don't know.
I don't really remember the commercials. I just know
there was a Snapple lady that would come into your house.
Yeah, remember
really?
That?
Oh, I don't remember her, but they still have a little trivia facts inside the bottle cap.
Wendy Kaufman
Snapple.
Was the
That's
Snapple
her.
Lady.
Wendy Kaufman. Married to Justin.
Catherine drinks Snapple. Snapple is still popular with the kids, too.
Yeah, and Snapple has a bunch of other products now. Volcano, Diet Air, Smart, Spark, Rain, different names. Snapple Elements. These were the subproducts that no longer exist. Crystal Pepsi.
Ugh.
I did like that. I know it was a fad.
Like it.
It's the
Pepsi wasn't meant to be clear.
It was good though. Yeah. Very sugary.
No good. How about Heinz Easy Squirt? This is colored ketchup, like rainbow colored ketchup in a bottle. Yeah.
Remember the green ketchup?
That I remember purple. The green ketchup, yeah.
Yes. Is that necessary? I don't think so.
No, it's not.
Cookies and cream Twix bars.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't remember those.
I do
I'm
remember
a chocolate.
I don't like those ones. I'm a chocolate expert. I don't like cookies and cream.
Squeeze-Its. I remember Squeeze-Its. You can't get Squeeze-Its anymore?
No. Those always like would cut your tongue. Sometimes the little hole at the top after you peeled off the top, like it would be...
Would have a rough edge.
There'd be rough plastic and could cut your tongue if you sucked on it hard enough.
How about Screaming Yellow Zonkers?
Yes, I remember those.
Screaming Yellow Zonkers were popcorn with no nuts covered in a yellow sugary dust.
Yep.
It was launched in the 60s. Walgreens bought them back in 2012 with a limited edition disclaimer. They haven't been seen since. Screaming Yellow Zonkers.
And the peanut side to it was Fiddle Faddle.
Oh, I remember Fiddle Faddle.
Remember that?
I think the dust was outlawed by the EPA. It was
probably. Hazard.
How about Keebler Magic Middles?
Yeah,
we used stuffed shortbread cookies.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You could heat them up in the toaster oven.
Sure, I love shortbread cookies. Those are my favorite. You could do anything with shortbread cookies.
Do you remember this? I remember this. This is the dumbest product ever. Lifesaver Holes.
Yeah,
they were little mint balls.
Oh, those
they were little
so
Lifesaver balls.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, donut holes make sense. Lifesaver balls, what are you talking about?
Oh, that's funny.
Space dust. Basically, you take Pop Rocks, you grind them up, you put them in a package. Space dust.
That's like a Lick-A-Made.
They still make Pop Rocks, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Those are so great.
And what about the space food sticks? Remember
are they
those?
Still out there?
I don't think so. Those were good.
Probably can get them at Whole Foods. Planters PB Crisps. If you love peanut butter... PB Crisps, peanut butter cream inside what looked like nuts. Nuts stuffed with peanut butter.
That sounds good.
I'm going to get a couple more after we take care of what's coming up here. And then David in Buffalo Grove. Stand by, Dave. All right, who was that famous comedian, David, from Buffalo Grove?
Brian Regan.
Isn't he the best? Brian Regan is so great.
He's awesome. I've seen him quite a few times, and I love his skits.
You know, the idea that you're going to his show instead of mine on New Year's Eve is only slightly offensive to me. That's how big a Brian Regan fan I am.
Well, maybe I'll have to try to get to yours then.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'll let you off the hook this year. But next year, you're coming to my show. Vanity Fair called Brian Regan the funniest stand-up alive.
After you?
Absolutely.
He's great.
Okay, yeah.
He's great. No, he's great. Oh, he's funnier than I am. He's great. Get tickets today, 10 a.m., the Chicago Theater box office, all Ticketmaster outlets and Ticketmaster charge by phone. Thank you, David.
Thank you so much, Steve. Love your show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Hold the line. There you go. That's David, the winner. Hey, Super Joe, should we make the text question, what do you miss from your childhood today? You like that, Super Joe? What do you think, Super Joe? Yeah, Super Joe? Yeah, Super Joe's giving me the thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
What do you miss from your childhood?
I used to love s'mores cereal. Do you remember that? It was like little marshmallows, little pieces of chocolate, and little teeny graham crackers.
I miss from my childhood a complete lack of responsibility. That's what I miss.
Do you remember you would go to the store and they'd have like the Brock's candy?
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of like those too.
Well, that's because you would take a sample probably.
I know.
Wait, the Brock's, was that the hard candy?
Well, it was all kinds
of candy. All the chocolate
in the
mix.
Grocery store.
Because if I wanted hard candy that would stick together, I'd just go to my grandmother's.
Right.
It had that weird, that square Brock's, that's white nougaty with looks
that's
like,
my favorite.
It was like strawberry, vanilla, and chocolate. It looked like a teeny little cake.
But there's also a white one that has looks like it has nuts in it or something.
It was like a nougat.
You could buy it by the pound.
Except for people always ate them. They just ate them right from the bin.
Yeah, you know, but nougat, the word nougat is funny to me. Shouldn't there have been just nougat, like a candy called just nougat, like nougat balls or nougat bars or something, right?
Yeah, well, I would have tried that, sure.
I like that text question, by the way. Super Joe's working on some audio for Dave, so.
You know what I also missed?
Couldn't answer
you. Do you guys remember that cereal called Quisp?
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah,
that was good, too.
You can still get it.
Wasn't there a little Quisp alien?
Yeah and it had like a little propeller on his head.
He was cute.
There was another one. There was like a sister cereal, like Quake.
Quisp and Quake.
But I don't think Quake is around anymore, but you can get Quisp.
I was like in college with
Quakes in L.A., 5.4 yesterday. Be careful.
I see what you did there.
Hershey announced that Bar None in 1987. It was cocoa wafer, chocolate filling, peanuts, and chocolate coating. Sold like crazy.
Yeah.
And then they went New Coke. They decided they had to fix it.
Oh.
They added caramel. Nobody wanted it anymore. And Bar None went away. Can't find one now. Mm-mm. There's none Bar Nuns. Dunkaroos. You remember Dunkaroos?
Yep. I used to eat those.
I don't remember Dunkaroos. Is that an 80s thing?
Yeah, it's, you know, when you have to eat food with your hands type thing, like, gives you something to do. You stick it in the chocolate. I want to say that they were like shapes of sticks or dinosaurs.
Like logs.
Or something.
They look like little logs. My kids used to eat those.
These Dunkaroos
all the time.
Look like little cookie pies.
They look like little vanilla Oreo. Yeah. Not vanilla. Oh. What do you call those? Vanilla wafers.
Yeah, they look circular. They look like cookies.
I'm confusing my Dunkaroos.
Yeah, or cookie kangaroos that you just dipped in frosting.
That's what a Dunkaroo is to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that Dunkaroo is.
Oh, I remember these cheese balls. And by the way, that was my nickname when I played.
Oh, I love cheese balls.
I ate a whole can of those after cheerleading practice in seventh grade, and then I got sick, so I have an aversion to those planters.
You could buy
planters, cheese balls.
Those ones were gross.
You could buy those now. They're huge, either at Costco or Target, and like $5, and it's a giant, giant jar
of cheese
balls.
I prefer the Cheeto Puffs.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what cheese balls are good for, mocking your friend. So we're taking our senior class trip to Florida, which is from where I lived in upstate New York, about an 18-hour bus ride. I fall asleep on the bus with my mouth open.
Yeah, cheese balls.
And somebody carefully, like cutting the green or the red wire on a bomb, placed a cheese ball between my lips so it stayed there perfectly and then took multiple photos.
Awesome. And then they had to wait for them to be developed.
Yeah, exactly. Go to the wall.
Oh, I love what you're showing right there. The back to that. Up that gum.
I don't remember this. Topps bubble gum?
Yeah, those are my favorite. They're like little juice boxes of
bubble gum juice cartons.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was the Big League Chew. Remember the Big League Chew?
These juice cartons, were they cartons filled with bubble gum?
Bubble gum, yeah. That like orange flavored grape. Katie and I ate a lot of those. Chewed, I guess.
How about Skippy Squeeze Sticks?
I don't remember those.
No.
Peanut butter sticks. You could squeeze, like, they're cheese sticks, like little plastic things of peanut butter.
Rubber peanut butter.
You know, when you say these names and then you Google and you see the picture, you're like, oh, yeah, that looks familiar.
Butterfinger. Wow.
Hello.
That was close. Butterfinger BBs.
I don't think the ratio is correct on those, the chocolate to Butterfinger part.
Too much Butterfinger.
Yeah.
Not enough chocolate.
Put those in the freezer. That's a snack, buddy.
Yeah.
What about those little paraffin containers that used to have the juice in them? They used to look like little paraffin bottles.
Yeah, it was like wax, right?
Is that the squeeze-it thing we were talking about?
Well, no, the smaller ones. No, you can actually chew.
Oh, the wax bottles from the 70s?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Those are great.
You either bite off the
little
top of it.
Nobody misses
those. Oh, yeah. I got hooked on candles for a while. I just started nibbling on candles.
And they had like a little Coke bottle, too. You'd rip the top off and there'd be a little Coke inside.
And I got hooked on those and those little candy cigarettes. Remember those?
Oh, those were good, too. Yeah.
Remember when they decriminalized us? Nabisco Giggles cookies?
I don't know those.
No idea.
An 80s product. Each cookie had a giggle face on it. Didn't last. How about oatmeal swirlers?
I do remember those. We never got them at our house.
Is that like an oatmeal pie?
Oatmeal turned into fun. The box came with instant oatmeal and a tube of jelly-like fruit-flavored paste that you could draw on the oatmeal because it would just sit there like it sits in your stomach.
Aww. Oatmeal is never fun.
No, there's nothing fun about it. Kind of reminds me of a toaster strudel, I love those.
Gator gum?
Yes, I love
Gator
gum.
Oh, I like that, too.
They sell that at Dick's Sporting Goods at the front. You can get some.
But that was the kind that, like, you chew it for a second and it loses its flavor.
Oh, yeah, that's how you have to buy a lot of it.
Like hot dog bubble gum. Oh, I loved hot dog gum.
Does it? Hot dog gum?
It's shaped like a hot dog. I didn't care for that one.
It doesn't taste like hot dogs,
does it? Oh, thank God.
It was hot.
Whoa.
Like a hot dog.
That would be nasty. All right, 312-981-7200. Text question. What do you miss from your childhood? It doesn't have to be food. Could be anything. Could be a TV show.
Lounge arts.
Could be illegal in every state.
Yep.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Fortunately, we haven't had to have many of these. I mean, the playoff thing's all new. Then don't make the playoff things. But the idea that they don't win a cup. The Blackhawks. Tonight, final home game. The great people at the Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, year after year after year, give away great tickets to Blackhawks games and then give away season tickets. Season tickets. So imagine, if you will, you've qualified by winning. And now you're qualified for season tickets. And next year, you'll have season tickets every game. On the way to the Blackhawks 2018-2019 Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm. Victory.
Yeah, we're going to have to play the season as a formality. Mm-hmm. You know, and
they always make you do that.
They do. And it's a lot of fun. You know, you go to the madhouse, you know, you build. There's the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs of the season. Goals will be scored. Saves will be made. Why am I doing William Shatner?
I don't know. It
now?
Sounds
what
good.
What is that
though.
About? And all of those people who won tickets during the year are qualified. Tickets on this show, tickets on Rose show. We have a winner. Would you like to meet
yes,
the winner?
Yes, absolutely.
Winner of 4-season tickets from 4 Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing is you, Russell.
Hey, hey.
Woo!
Not just any Russell, Russell Rosenberg from Northbrook. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Thank you, guys. The phrase that pays.
I appreciate you listening. I'm told that you hear most shows every day.
Every day. Thank you for all the fun and the entertainment. Really enjoy it.
What do you do?
I am a divorce attorney.
Ooh, you need some laughs.
Yeah, every day is a challenge, but it starts out good with you guys.
So here's the thing, Russell. I always believe that if you're getting divorced, look, it happens. But if you're getting divorced, first and foremost, protect your kids and love your kids and don't put them in the middle. Am I right, Russell?
100%. That's all that counts. That's all that counts.
And is that the sermon you give your clients?
I like to think so. Yeah. I like to think so. I think that they get it. And we try to keep the conflict to a low simmer, if at all.
Are people more likely to settle than when you got in the business and compromise and be reasonable? Or is it just as testy as it was in the old days?
You know, I think that pretty much people only hear about the horror stories. They don't hear about a lot of alternative dispute resolution and a lot of trying to sit on the same side of the bleachers and watch your son or your daughter or in the theater participating. You don't hear about that. Those are the boring ones. You only hear about the good stories, you know?
And what you're describing, hopefully, is becoming more the majority?
I think so. I absolutely think so.
Well, that's a good thing. Russell's a good man. Yeah. We like Russell.
Ah, we do.
We got to be positive. We got to be positive out there.
Well, Russell, you're a good man. We're going to need to know everyone you're going to take to the games all year long. Now, there's only 81 of them. I have the grid here. Let's just fill them out now.
Well, I'll tell you, other than my beautiful wife, I'm going to take those people who I think are going to pay for dinner and parking.
Smart man.
By the way, where did I get the number 81?
Yeah, it's 41. Yeah.
There's 41 of them, well, plus preseason and playoffs.
Yeah, even if they go 7 games each playoff series, they're not playing 81.
Yeah,
games.
Yeah. I don't know where that came from,
that's
Russell,
baseball.
But I get up early.
That's a big commitment. That's a big commitment.
Well, it's great, and thank you, 4 Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. What a generous deal that is every single year. Russell, I'm proud of you. Hold on, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. 717.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Sit around all weekend and listen to this. Oh, I got the Ain't Never Gonna Be Warm blues. I got the April 6th, it's still 32 degrees blues. That's BB, right? Isn't that Lucille? Isn't that BB King? Yeah. 723. Speaking of Memphis, BB King. Doma T. Pongo's here. Nice touch by Super Joe. He doesn't miss a trick. Doma T., welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel like I'm back in Memphis. This is.
All right. So the MLK 50 events, it was awkward, right? Because people kept saying, and me too, we kept saying celebration, celebration, but it was part celebration of life. It was also melancholy, I'm sure.
Yes.
And historic, right? All three parts.
And you hit the nail. I was there, and there was this, I spoke to one woman who talked to me just before that event at Mason Temple, where Dr. Bernice King talked about losing her father, and she called it a celebration and said this is kind of like a resurrection, a culmination of everything he's been fighting for the last 50 years. And a lot of the speakers had this jubilant kind of hopeful spirit, but then Dr. Bernice King's daughter gets up there and she's like, you know, this is the day I lost my daddy, you know, and it kind of changed the whole way you kind of look at it, you know.
Sure.
What I mean,
that morning, a little later on that morning, we had Chaz Ebert in, and we were talking about what you had referenced, Doma T, to the age group. You know, young children all the way up to obviously people in their 90s. What did you see when you were there as far as the older generation kind of explaining to the younger generation how the impact of this?
Absolutely. When you talk to older people, and it's kind of interesting because we're joking off air about our old candy bars that we used to like. Everyone's like, yeah, I walked with King. You know, he was, you know, everyone has their story. And, you know, it reminded me about how personable King was as a human being. I think the biggest thing that I took from this after having a chance to hear from his family and was how much how he made everyone he met feel like they knew him best. Yeah. So people who marched with him, like, you know, you hear people say, I marched with King.
Yeah.
But they were among hundreds as they marched with him.
Sure.
But they felt like they were right next to him. And so these 90
That's a gift. That's a gift to be able to connect with people on that level.
Absolutely. And it's something that's hard to cultivate. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I was 7 years old when he was killed. And the thing that struck me was that he was only 38 years old. Yeah. And I didn't connect to that until I was, you know, 20s, probably myself, because I was thinking, this is a guy who's lived a life.
Yeah.
Lived a life. And at 38, well, he looked older because he'd lived a life. But what he accomplished in his lifetime is unbelievable.
Oh, it's amazing.
Changed the world.
Before these things even kicked off, like the ceremonies, like I think it was Tuesday, Rainbow Push held a panel where they talked about millennial activists. And they said, you know, King was 25 when he got his PhD. Jesse Jackson jumped into this work at 26. They're the same age that a lot of these activists are today. And today, when you hear activists talk or the older generation try to mentor them, they're telling young people, you know, if I were you, I'd do it this way. I'd do it that way. And they're like, wait a minute. You were the same age we are now,
right,
back when you were doing this.
Got to give him some room.
Got to give him some room. And when you look at King, you know, just like you said, you kind of forget how young he was. He didn't even make 40 years old. And I want to go back to thinking about the older generation, some of the stories they told. It's kind of remarkable to them how much King is beloved. There was a woman who told me, you know, King was hated back then. And you guys know, you know, he was... The way the country, you know, kind of reveres him in this way is kind of mind-boggling to them because of how hard they fought just to be seen as human.
But I want to say this. Hated by some.
Hated by some.
Not hated by all. Most closed-minded, narrow-minded types who weren't willing to give up on the past and see the future ahead of them.
And some African-Americans. There's a guy,
Felt like he was Uncle Tomming it, right?
Some of them felt like he was an Uncle Tom, and others felt he was anti-American. They were, there was a guy I talked to who was on his way to Vietnam the month before King died. His name is Royal Mickey Warren.
A black man.
Black man.
Yeah.
And he said, I can't believe this guy's talking about the war. He said, America is apple pie. Yeah. America is freedom. He's like, I was on the way to Vietnam to fight for this country's freedom.
Right.
And King is sitting here decrying a war that I believe in. And then after, when King passed and he ended up becoming an conscientious objector to the war.
Right.
Ended up becoming jailed for it and then joined the Rainbow Push Coalition.
How about that story?
And the rest is history.
How about that for an arc?
Sam Charles in the Sun-Times wrote that piece Tuesday night, I think it is. So you guys should definitely look it up. And it's about Royal Warren, a really great story. I wish I'd written that piece. It was great.
Domiti, was there talk of the movements that now with the students and mm-hmm. Me Too and Time's Up, was there talk at all about how these movements kind of were spanned by the original movement here?
Absolutely. Everybody, almost all, every speaker brought up the Me Too movement. Yeah. I think Martin Luther King III might have brought it up when he was speaking too. And it speaks to how King's cause didn't just affect African Americans, but women of all nationalities, affect people of different lifestyles, the LGBTQ community, despite the fact that he was a clergyman, and sometimes those communities are at odds. It's a really interesting dynamic when you really think about it.
Yeah.
I assume his inner circle was in attendance. Obviously, the Reverend Jackson was there. By the way, is his health stable at least?
Yeah, when you're speaking to him, he seems well. He feels well. And
the light comes on and he comes and he cranks
he
it
He comes
up.
Alive. Okay. And you can tell he told these stories millions of times, so he's got to remember it.
Sure.
Yeah.
How about John Lewis? I assume he was there.
John Lewis was there.
Andrew Young?
Andrew Young was there. I believe Andrew Young actually spoke the night I was at Mason Temple. Andrew Young spoke.
These are the guys that were with him when he was killed.
When he was killed, standing right next to him.
Yeah.
And for them, it's visceral kind of remembering this. It looks triggering when you see them go back to the balcony. I'm sure they've told this
Did you go to the balcony, by the way?
I couldn't get up there because there was a stage.
You saw it.
But I saw it. Yeah.
If you've never been there, were you amazed at how small that area is?
And I'm amazed at how much it looks exactly as it did in the picture.
Eerie.
I knew it wasn't changed. You know, you have the museum built off to the side of it. I knew they kept it, preserved it. But when you look, you like it's like you're looking at the it's like the pictures I see now of modern day Cuba, and they still have the cars from back.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's
yeah.
kind it's of a surreal.
It's exactly like that. It's like you are in a time warp when you were there.
Yes,
and living, you know, with no cell phone service and whatnot. It's like you have been transported back in time.
Well, the other thing is the really eerie part, I think, is when you look at the place that is different now, but where James Earl Ray took uh-huh. the shot. As a kid, I thought, well, you know, a sniper. He's a half mile away. He's a quarter mile away.
That's what I thought.
He's right there. Mm-hmm.
And that's in the picture they're pointing. They look like they're pointing far away where yeah. the shots came from. Yeah. They're pointing like literally like...
Across an alley.
No, he's right yeah. there. He's right there. And when you have those moments, and I opened up the first part of my series with this, that stand in your mind and kind of put an imprint on your spirit and history... you remember some of the smallest details. And Al Green sung Precious Lord, Take My Hand after the commemoration ceremony on April 4th. That was the last song that King asked for. He actually asked Reverend Jackson, hey, you guys were playing Precious Lord, Take My Hand on saxophone. Can you guys play that again for me later on tonight? And he's like, yeah. And then a shot rang out. And so that was the last Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
He combined that with the garbage strike speech the night before, the mountaintop speech. And
you knew,
like
he knew what happened.
He knew. Yeah. He knew the end was near. It was bizarre.
It gives you goosebumps.
Yeah,
it gives you goosebumps, Steve.
Well, nice work by you. I was really very impressed.
Thank you.
You're not impressive every day, but I thought in this case, didn't you think he was a little more impressive?
Yes. Absolutely great coverage.
Yes. I really
it was cool that you got to kind of relive history and be there for it.
And your articles in the Sun Times, Domitio, awesome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, well written.
Really
well
written.
Thank you so much. Oh, wow. Thank you, guys.
Great
It was
job.
An honor to be there. I got to say this. I don't want to get too mushy, guys, morning crew, but it's an honor to be here and have the opportunity that WGN provides for us to cover these types of stories.
Well, but I think it's important because we send you as a young black American to be able to go and experience that and tell that story to the rest of us. I think that's really important.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
So well done by you, man.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, get off the show.
Oh, you guys. you guys, I'm good.
I know.
It's 7:31. All right, coming up, stand by. We have an old friend of the show coming in, talking about some world events, frankly, and we got to get some of these texts. People are texting in stuff they missed from when they were a kid. By the way, we asked Doma T what he missed from when he was a kid. He goes, it was 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I don't miss anything.
Last year.
Yeah. 7:31, headlines next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, we've had so much to worry about. It's been a while since we've had to worry about the Middle East and the core of the Middle East, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, a core of the worry of the Middle East, I should say. But there is a border fence protest that has nothing to do with the bloviating president or the response of the Mexican people. It has everything to do with the Israelis and the Palestinians. And in round two of the border fence problem is upon us. A friend of the show, Israeli diplomat, Consul General Aviv Ezra, joins us. And before we get serious here, I'm curious, did you survive this bull season being the big basketball fan you are?
Good to be back on the show, Steve. Thank you so much for having me. Actually, yesterday I had the opportunity of being in the home opener of the Sox. And
oh, good.
That was also slightly challenging. So, you know, with our ups and downs, like in life, right?
Very much so. And I know what a big Chicago sports fan you are. All right, let's talk about
Thank
this. You. Give me the perspective of the Israeli government here, because there's been a warning from the United Nations and basically a threat to stand down. What's your Israeli government saying about this?
Well, you know, Let me ask this as an opening kind of a question. You know, if you're looking at this situation, you're asking yourself, what country in the world would allow its national borders, you know, to be attacked and penetrated by a hostile external enemy? Because this
nobody.
Is what Hamas is about.
Nobody.
And that's the first answer that needs to be questioned here. And Israel, you know, will defend its borders against any onslaught. And we will use force if necessary. That's, you know, that's the basic fact that people then to say, you know, to just not look at it in this shape or manner. Now, the world, I think, as you said, no country will agree to that. And the world needs to, first of all, send that message to Hamas, which is, as you know better than I am, is a terror organization.
Absolutely.
Recognized as a terror organization.
If you go back to 2007, when Hamas essentially overthrew the PLO,
and became a quote recognized part of the government. That didn't change their core mission, and their core mission is a terrorist organization. So I completely accept the premise that Israel has a right to defend their borders, and would, like anybody else would. So how much of this are you supposed to take before you respond? I guess that's the question.
Well, you know, you're going to 2007, and that's a very, very good point. But I would even go, just for the facts, for the listeners, I'll go back just a couple of years before that, where people forget that Israel withdrew from the Gaza Strip 12 years ago and has no, we don't have any presence there whatsoever. You know, in the past, you would have said, you know, Israel has occupying force or, I don't know, settlements or whatever. There's nothing over there in terms of Israeli presence. So why are they coming up to us? You know, why are they doing that kind of a violent, and this is a violent in any shape or form, look at it. It's not a nonviolent kind of a protest, which we don't have any problem with, which everybody, you know, if you have a nonviolent protest across your border, that's fine and dandy. But when you have a violent, well-organized, pre-planned kind of a riot by Hamas, when we're not even there, that is unacceptable, and we will know how to defend ourselves. This is what we need to do. We have an obligation towards our citizens.
Aviv, it's such a volatile region, but it really is kind of a blueprint with when you're in the downtown area. There's the Golden Dome, there's the Muslim faith, there's the Christian faith, there's the Wailing Wall for the Jewish faith. It's like everybody's kind of coexisting. How come that can't maybe be bottled up and spread throughout the entire region, and perhaps even take down that wall that currently you can't even cross the street from one side to the other in certain areas because of the wall, and replacing it with something?
Well, what we're talking right now is about Gaza and not the West Bank. The West Bank, we can talk separately, and I will be more than happy to relate to it in a second. But when we're talking about Gaza, there's no coexistence over there. There's the Palestinians on the one side, there's Israeli on the other side. And if we want to show to the world, if the Palestinians want to show to the world that there is a chance for a two-state solution in the future, they have to look at this case study very well and look at it and say, you know, let us prove to you that we can invest in economic development, we can invest in science and industry, and not invest in how to violently try to storm Israel's borders. Because if this is what you're sending, you Palestinians are sending in terms of message to the Israeli public opinion, it's not going to happen anywhere else. We're not going to go to two-state solution because you guys are not mature enough to really work it out. Now, to your question about the West Bank, right. I'm an optimist. I believe it's possible. The reason it's not possible, that's my personal two cents here, is that there's no decision on behalf of a Palestinian leadership that, A, is willing to go for a peace accord, because they're afraid to do that because of different kind of political reasons, etc., and capable of delivering on the promise.
Why is there no outside control of Hamas? The Saudi Crown Prince came out the other day and says Israel has a right to a homeland, which is, seems like an obvious statement, but it's a big step, it feels like, from the outside. Was that a political move, or is he serious?
You know what? We're celebrating 70 years of independence, which is really truly a miracle if you think about it. People coming back to their homeland after 3,000 years. And that declaration by the Saudi prince is crucial, because he understands today, and that goes to your question of why Hamas is doing what it's doing. He understands today that Israel is not his big enemy. Israel is not the big source of instability in the region. On the contrary, Israel brings to the world stability and solutions that people have not seen in the world. The big problem in the world, and big problem certainly in our region, and it goes directly to Hamas also, is Iran. Iran is proliferating arms. Iran is proliferating terror. Iran is pursuing its nuclear ambitions. And Iran is playing an unstable role in the region. It's not that they're doing it, you know, if they would have done it within their own borders, I'm against it, but it's an internal issue. But they're exporting their revolution. They talk about it. So they're the source, no doubt about it.
Aviv, I think the whole thing is troubling, but I think what's also troubling, too, is that these so-called peaceful demonstrations are being staged, but they're at the seam line between Gaza and Israel, and their purpose, is it not, is to provoke clashes with Israel?
Yes, exactly it. And you know what? The rioters are also, they're making a cynical use of, you know, women and children. Last Friday, for example, and as you stated correctly, this is the second time that they're doing it. Last Friday, they sent a 7-year-old girl to the border in an attempt to provoke the IDF.
My God.
Look at the scene for a second, and just this is mind-boggling.
It's standard. It's a standard Hamas tactic.
It's a standard Hamas tactic. This is not something which is unique or. But just think about it. You know, we're sitting here in the Gold Coast, right, in Chicago. You know, an organization today in the third millennium is even willing and thinking of sending a 7-year-old to provoke the IDF to respond, and then later on to bash us.
Well,
unbelievable.
I've said this before. Here in Chicago, if suddenly we were attacked by Wisconsin, mm-hmm. we wouldn't be sitting here and going, well, good luck to all of us. We would, to carry it back to your original premise, we would act and react. Hamas is very good at playing politics. They're very good at creating photo ops, and they're very good at generating sympathy that Israel wants to take all the Palestinian people's land, current or projective land, and make their lives miserable. I don't believe that's the core premise of the Israeli government. I believe the Israelis want to survive and thrive and have a peaceful coexistence, but there will be no two-state solution until that's agreed on by both sides. And frankly, I wish I was as optimistic as you, because I don't see any success in this area until Hamas is out.
You know, Steve, we're celebrating Passover now. The people of Israel definitely don't want to be in a situation where we are right now on the Gaza Strip. The government of Israel doesn't have an interest for this to happen right now. And then, by the way, both sides, if we want to create that win-win situation, I think it's doable. I'm optimistic because I think the generator force is that we want to have on both sides this kind of tranquility in the region. But it's a matter of decision. That's my point. It's a matter of decision of the leadership. And the minute there was a coup, a violent coup of Hamas against the PA, obviously you see that that case study called Gaza Strip is a failure when you look at it in the presence of the two-state solution. Now, one last element. People tend to tell us, yeah, but you know, you guys have a blockade around Gaza. That's why, you know, that's why they have a problem. Well, first of all, that is not a fact. That is actually a lie. We don't have a blockade because Gaza has a border with another sister Arab country, which is Egypt. Second, the reason we don't open the borders with them is, unfortunately, because when we do it, they either import explosives and different mechanisms against us, or they come against us in terror attacks. So we are willing to open the borders if there's a tranquility kind of a relationship, if there's a win-win kind of a development. They're not going towards that direction. And unfortunately, when we wanted Singapore and the Middle East to be in Gaza, that's not happening right now.
Appreciate your time, as always. And hopefully next time we talk, it'll be about something a little happier. But in regards to the continued protests and the response, you know, prayers, nothing but the best on this Passover. And in general, it's Aviv Ezra, Israeli Diplomat Consul General. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Pray for Israel. Pray for Jerusalem. Thank you very much.
See you, Aviv.
Texters. This came up earlier in the show. What do you miss from your childhood? I wonder, ooby-doo-doo. What's in a Wonder Ball? Remember the Wonder Balls I talked about earlier?
Yes.
The Marathon Bar. Chocolate, caramel, and nougat.
Is that that old?
It's kind of old, yeah.
There's your nougat bar, because remember you were saying you weren't sure if there was like a nougat candy bar?
There should be just nougat.
Yeah.
Just a can of nougat.
You just like to say nougat.
I do. 608, Jell-O 123. If it came back, I'd buy a truckload of it.
Yeah. Just not a Jell-O fan.
224, Oscar Mayer sandwich spread that came in a tube.
No way.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. It was like liver sauce.
It was exactly. And it came in a tube and you would slice it.
Okay.
Oh. You can buy that sandwich spread in a jar.
Oh, boy. But should you? Let's see. 630, the old McDonald's apple pie, not the fake one they're trying to fool you with now.
That was pretty good. Remember, it would be in the little container and you'd pop it open.
I haven't seen an apple pie from McDonald's in quite some time, I don't know. How are they different now?
It was like in that cardboard box. So you pull up the sides, right?
They still are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I ate one a couple months ago.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. They still sell the apple pie?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do sell it, but how different can it be?
It's apple pie.
It's not any different.
It's no different?
Well, I don't remember how it used to be.
Well, at your age, how could you?
I know, I can't remember, but it's still
708.
Good.
Here's what I missed from my childhood. Summer vacation. I love 3 months off.
Yeah.
630, what do I miss from my childhood? My waistline. 219, Count Chocula.
Loved it. They still have that, by the way.
Yeah, they still have it.
Oh, they do?
Count Chocula and Frankenberry.
Yeah.
Mm.
847, what do I miss from my childhood? The nuns in Catholic school. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
630, Big Mouth Bubblegum. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is. Do you remember Big League Chew?
Yeah, sure.
Still
that's
have still that, too.
That stuff was awesome.
I just bought some for my son for Easter.
708, Flying Saucer Wafer Candies.
Oh, I like those. Now, you want to talk dangerous about that. Krasanich, we were talking about the wax before.
Mm-hmm.
Those were those little things. It was a tissue paper?
Oh,
the consistency.
Awful.
And then you put it in your mouth and it would melt and all these tiny little candy balls.
Did you like those?
Yeah, I don't remember that. This was more paraffin wax that you could do. It was just like a wax.
It was a bottle of colored water.
Yeah. The flying saucers, it was actual like parchment paper.
I remember
almost,
them, Andrea.
Melted in your mouth. Yeah.
Very thin.
Do you remember those paraffin vampire fangs that you'd get at Halloween?
Oh, yeah.
Those are good.
Good times. 219, the best Brock's was the multicolored coconut candy.
That's the one.
I think you have to like coconut, though, right?
I don't even like coconut, but it was so good.
Really?
It was just a teeny little piece of cake, it looked like.
847, I miss being able to get out of a chair in less than a second without my knees creaking. 708, I miss Bosco's chocolate syrup.
Bosco was awesome.
This is a great one. 815, I miss cartoons that look good, like the Flintstones and Jetsons, Scooby-Doo and Bugs Bunny. They look like cartoons, not this flat animation crap they're shoving down kids' throats now. That should be a cartoon. Flat animation crap. And I love this, 619. You know what I miss about my youth? I miss not paying bills. That's what one of our callers, or I should say our texters, said.
Remember that.
What do you miss about your ute? 312-981-7200.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than one night.
Live to Los Angeles, where Dean Richards is up, padding around the room in his underpants, getting ready to go talk to big shot stars. Good morning, buddy.
That is a fairly accurate statement.
Which part isn't true? The big shot stars?
Enjoy the visualization is all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Is there a clown in your room? Normally you travel with clowns.
I am clownless for this trip.
Completely clown-free.
Turns out at some of the hotels you have to pay extra, because sometimes you can just send your shoes to be shined, complimentary.
Yeah.
And, with clown shoes, it winds up...
it's an all-day project.
The bill.
So there's a clown upcharge. That's good traveling tips. All right, we have a lot to get to here, but I was going to share with you, because I like to share, the fact that earlier today we got into this discussion of stuff you miss from your childhood. Stuff you miss from your childhood. A lot of it was food and snack related. You got any that jumped to mind, like bubble yum and hubba bubba bubble gum? How about Mr. Softy?
I beg your pardon. Excuse me.
I believe you're referring to the ice cream. Mr. Softy. Though your giggle reminds me. I watched Will and Grace last night. How is that show on primetime network television? That was cable filthy.
Oh, my God. Hilarious, though. It's the funniest show on television.
Oh, no, there's no doubt it's funny, but I have never seen a show that much over the line in primetime.
I'm noticing a lot of shows lately. I mean, really dropping questionable words, too.
Yeah, it's just they go, see, I want anyone at the FCC paying attention. But, I believe you should handle the offense in your own house, however you may handle it. Let's see. Do you miss Tidbits cheese crackers, Dean?
Not even 100% sure what those are.
Cheese crackers, little tiny ones, Tidbits. Do you miss chum gum? I don't remember chum gum. Is that made out of actual sea chum?
I do remember chum gum. I can't describe the taste to you, but I do remember that.
Do you miss?
I remember the name. I remember the name of it. But
this one from the 630. I miss red pistachios and colored Kleenex. Sounds like a Brad Paisley song. I miss red pistachios
and colored Kleenex.
Pastel colored Kleenex and you.
There's nothing harmful in the red pistachios, is there?
Just
to make
part.
Them red.
Just the red part.
Very very. Very, very safe, but why in the world would they ever put red dye in those nutshells anyway?
because the green is the green is off-putting. They wanted to make them red. And I love this one from the 708. You know what I miss about my childhood? Running in and out of the house all summer long, letting the screen door slam behind me. It drove my mom nuts.
Yeah.
Remember that? The door would go.
Somebody would actually.
And go whack.
Weird.
In or out? Stay. Pick one.
I'm not paying to air condition this whole neighborhood.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Can Dean settle the great Hollywood feud between The Rock and Vin Diesel, the crown prince, prince or the prince of Saudi Arabia? And reviews of A Quiet Place, Blockers, speaking of what we were talking about before, and the movie Chappaquiddick, all coming up from Dean in L.A. We're based on the time change, it's 2 a.m. All of this sponsored by our friends at Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Haven't you waited long enough to take care of everybody else? You cover your mouth up when you laugh or you smile. Stop it. Get a hold of Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, channel 972.
Back to Dean in Los Angeles. All right, so The Rock and Vin Diesel and The Rock. Vin Diesel, obviously one of the great thespians of all time. They've been fighting for a while. Dean, can you help?
Well, I talked to The Rock yesterday. That's why I'm out here. He's got a new movie coming out called Rampage that was partially filmed in Chicago.
I can do one of his lines from the movie. Ready?
Good.
Of course the wolf can fly. Thank you very much.
Oh, look at this.
Thank you.
Goosebumps.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Here is, this is the line that's repeated over and over, and actually maybe like 50% of the dialogue. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, ladies and gentlemen. George!
Again, goosebumps.
That's the name of the giant ape.
And he's trying to help the ape. All right, so did you bring up Vin Diesel?
I said, which are you most tired of talking about, running for president, Vin Diesel, or having a new baby? And he said he was happy to talk about all of those things.
Wow.
He said he never gets tired of talking about all those things. And on the Vin Diesel subject, he says that he has no problem with Vin Diesel, but then has this really kind of sarcastic look on his face. You know, this kind of like Rock, not quite putting the one eyebrow up that he's so famous for, but that you feel like he may not 100% be telling the truth, but he says that he has no problem with it.
And did he at any point punch you?
No.
Okay, good.
No, we get along great. Yeah, we've been buds for a long time. We talked about, he's having a new baby in a couple of weeks, a little baby girl in a couple of weeks. We talked about that and how that's softened him, a little bit as daughters, or as you would know, granddaughters certainly can do.
Sure, without a doubt. All right, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia bought the entire Four Seasons Hotel out. Why?
Well, because, often when we're out here in L.A., Steve, we stay at the lovely Four Seasons Hotel.
Right. They'll leave the light on for you.
Yeah, sometimes you have to rough it like that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to do that. And we're staying someplace else, which is also very nice. I'm not going to mention because I don't really want to answer the phone 500 times this morning. But we wondered why we weren't staying at our usual hotel, because we're kind of spoiled. And we learned that the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia bought out the entire hotel. Can you imagine that? I mean, like, rooms are anywhere between $500 to $2,000 per night.
Yeah, and if I'm...
That's what you do, though, Steve.
I do.
Buy out two floors, usually.
Yeah, it's usually adjoining rooms and a Red Roof Inn. So the hotel I'm thinking of, the Four Seasons, that's the one in Hollywood, right? The one that's kind of in the middle of the neighborhood there?
It's in the middle of a neighborhood. It's actually in Beverly Hills, right? It's right on the edge of Beverly Hills.
Right, and you drive up on it and you go, oh, look, there's the Four Seasons.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. You would never even know that it's there. But what's happening right now is that the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has lifted its 30-year ban on cinemas and films. For the last 30 years in Saudi Arabia, people could not go to see a motion picture, which is amazing to me.
Yeah.
And the Saudi Arabian Ministry of Culture and Information have announced that they have lifted that ban, and they're out here making all kinds of deals with movie studios, with Cirque du Soleil, with anything related to entertainment. They are opening the doors on entertainment for the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And one of the first movies, they just made a huge deal with the AMC movie chain to open up theaters in Saudi Arabia, which is ironic that, you know, in a country that's loaded with billionaire princes, now finally there will be a people who can actually afford to buy a bucket of popcorn.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll go to the lightning round of reviews in just a second, but Joe from Elk Grove has the reason the pistachios are red. Joe.
Yeah, back in the wooden ship days when they would ship these, the sailors would steal the pistachios and eat them. And so they dyed them red, and that's where the line "get caught red-handed" came from.
Come on, look at you, Joe.
Wow.
Look at
that's
Joe.
Interesting. Who knew?
That's fantastic. I don't know if it's true, but that's fantastic. All right, Joe.
I'm going to share that a couple of times today.
Share it with your celebrity friends. Give Joe Lou Malnati's Pizza, 40-plus Chicagoland locations, and an app gift card as well, abt.com. All right, what'd you think of A Quiet Place?
Quiet Place is one of the best movies I've seen in a long, 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 long time. And I'm not even crazy about horror movies. It's not my favorite genre, but this one is done so intelligently, so brilliantly. John Krasinski, Jim from The Office, not only stars in it, but he directs this movie and he also co-wrote it. And you would think that this was done by Alfred Hitchcock or, you know, like some of the great suspense directors. That's how meticulously this thing is put together. Story about a world that has been taken over by some kind of creatures, and the only way that these creatures can hunt you down is if they hear you. So in order to stay alive, you have to remain absolutely silent. You can't crunch a piece of paper, you can't cough, you can't make the least bit of noise, or these creatures find you, they hunt you down, and the ending is not pleasant. And so the story focuses on this family, John Krasinski, his real life wife, Emily Blunt.
She is so great.
Plays his wife in the movie. They are both amazing. I mean, this really is a movie that is going to, like Get Out was last year. It's going to be up for some Academy Award attention next year. And they're trying to survive with their three children. So think about this concept now with three kids who make noise, and they have another baby who is about to be born.
Oh boy.
Any day.
Oh boy.
And how do they deal with a newborn baby in a world where things have to be absolutely silent? This movie will leave you on the edge of your seat, white knuckling every single second of this movie. Like you didn't even want to like crunch your popcorn. You didn't want to make a sound while you were watching.
You thought they were going to get you, big shot critics? They were going to get you.
That's right. That's how engaged that you get in this movie. It's beautifully done. It's smartly written. I saw another horror movie last night that I'm going to be doing some interviews on today, Truth or Dare. And I said after we saw this movie, which was okay, but I said A Quiet Place has ruined horror movies from now on. This is the new gold standard.
Well, it's good because I like both of them.
These movies can be done.
Yeah, I want to know how you can go into labor without making any noise.
Well, you can when the monsters are coming.
Come on.
Part of this movie, there's an intense scene in which she has to deal with that.
All right, I'm out of time, but I got to get two other quick reviews for you here. So,
Blockers, just okay. R-rated comedy, nothing special. I was very disappointed in Chappaquiddick. That's the story of Ted Kennedy's accident back in 1969. It could have been such an engaging movie, and I think it just meanders all over the place. I gave that one 19+D. Wasn't crazy about
that. Blockers, that idiotic premise of the kids have a sex pack, so we're going to go clandestine to stop it. What's your grade on that?
Yeah, that's a B on that one. That's just a B. It's nothing special. But
Quiet Place is an A.
Quiet Place is the movie to see this weekend. It is fantastic.
Put your pants on and go to work. I'll talk to you later. That's Dean Richards, and he's in Los Angeles, and you're back with the headlines in just a second. Dean, sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Back after this.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
For the coach, Joel Quenneville. You know, Coach and I spend a lot of time together. You know that, right? On the weekends, we're usually hitting the tennis ball, maybe doing some fishing.
Skiing once in a while.
Oh, he's on hold? Oh, I hope he didn't hear any of that. ladies and gentlemen, the coach of your Chicago Blackhawks, Joel Quenneville. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
How are you, my friend?
I'm all right. All right.
Good talk.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what I want to ask you about? Coming up when you did as a defenseman. As much as we all miss Stan Mikita being in the arena, I think it's so cool what the Hawks are doing tonight with his grandsons for his one last shift. But how big a deal was Stan Mikita when you were a kid playing hockey? I know he was physically different from you, but is that one of the guys you really looked up to?
Well, I like Chicago, and Stan was one of those guys that very competitive. You know, I always remember him and Bobby with the great big curves, and you know, he's one of those guys that was always a top scorer, was always competitive as heck. Always found a way to be effective as a scorer. Did a lot of great things for the organization. He's a great ambassador. You know, in the community, and I mean, he's done everything you'd want and expect, and represented the team in so many great ways. And you know, he's very, you know, it's great and fitting tonight that the grandkids are going to be out here.
Yeah, it's a good thing
having another shift. So I think it's very cool.
Physically, was he smaller than defensemen of that era?
Well, the defensemen in that area, I mean, they've kept getting bigger over the years, and and now we're starting to be, you know, it's not important as to be as big as in the past. It looks like there's a little bit more of quickness back there, a little bit more offensive-minded guys. So every team has a few guys that not necessarily that big. But Stan wasn't the biggest guy, but he was tough. He had you know, he was good with a stick, and he found a way to give him some space, and you know, he'd always be competitive in all areas.
Well, he scored a lot of goals too. Scored a lot of goals. Dave, say hi to our friend Coach Joel Quenneville.
Joel, good morning. As you head into the final two games of the season, give us a little look inside what happens when a season like this comes to an end. Do you have a team meeting? Do you have exit interviews with the players and tell them what they need to work on for next year? How does it work?
We'll sit down with all the players here individually, and then they'll meet with Stan, and then we'll reassess, and then we'll look at our needs, and you know, as we prepare, you know, Stan has the, you know, they have amateur drafts, we have then there's a free agent period, there's a lot of things that happen between now and, I'm going to say, you know, a lot of it gets concluded at the end of the playoffs, but. You know, since we're not in it there, well, we'll see how that transpires. But you know, as a staff here, coaching staff, we can reassess how our approach is going to be going forward, and adjustments that we can do and make and think about as well. But I mean, the rapport we have with the players on our exit meetings, we'll tell them what we think of their season and things to be aware of for next year, and how you can better yourselves. And but as a team, you know, the organization does a lot of good things as far as their physical training that's necessary in the off season, nutrition, and the focus, and the opportunity that's ahead of them is something that we address as well.
And hopefully a little time off, because even though you've got extra time off you'd prefer not to have, it's great for everybody to recharge and really be fired up this fall.
Well, we want to make sure that you know, it's one of these years where we can you can reflect back, and knowing that this feeling we've had
throughout part of the year that it's not where we want to be. It's not a good feeling. It's, you know, you're, when you're in the winning business and you're not reaching your goals or objectives, and we've been in a very fortunate position here of having a great run here for 9 years, and being absent this year certainly left a different taste in our mouths, and that can be the recipe we're looking for to get and recapture that taste and feeling of being competitive and winning hockey games and doing what we can to better ourselves as individuals and as a team.
Even in a bad season, there's always something positive that you can take into next year and kind of build some hope around. What would it be this year?
Meow.
Well, we have some young guys that are that look like they could turn into be decent players to better players, which all of a sudden can go to that next level. I think DeBrincat came in this year and showed that not only can he play, he could go to all of a sudden be one of those scorers that you can count on to be productive. I think across the board, I thought Schmaltzy grew a little bit this year, and his improvement had a good summer as well. Three guys at the end of the year that are planned, or a couple guys at the end of the year. Victor Edsel, we'll see how he does up front, and Dylan Sakura, and Blake Hillman on the back end coming in at the end of the year. These guys look like they all look pretty good in a short audition here at the end of the year. So looking forward to seeing some progression from them in the summer. But we had a number of changes over the course of the year. I think there's areas where we have to be better. I think our team game defensively has to improve, and not just not from the back end.
And any way to tell what Corey Crawford's future is still at this point? Obviously, you got the rest he probably needs to continue to recover. Is it still too early to make that call?
We expect them to be ready to go, and there's lots of time between now and then, and so that's we know the importance of goalies and how good Crow was for us at the beginning of the year. He gave us a chance there for almost half a season there to put ourselves in a position to fighting for a playoff spot. So we're looking forward to him getting ready to go, there should be enough time to having Crow being ready to go.
One of the greats. Speaking of goalies, Dave and I were wondering, when Scott Foster comes out of the dressing room last week and that unbelievable opportunity that he had where he stopped 7 shots on the way to a Hawks win, you had the biggest smile on your face and almost a giggle, like, how nuts is this situation? And then he goes out and he gets it done. Well, did I misinterpret your smile, your laugh? Because that was pretty entertaining.
Well, it was one of those situations where, it's probably it's a thrill of a lifetime that he gets a chance to play, and in that environment, knowing that we also had a guy that was playing his first game to begin with, that was kind of a funny situation to begin. And then all of a sudden, I was thinking maybe at the end of the game, you, if there's an opportunity where you can give him a minute or so in the game to get him a chance to play, was part of the thinking. And I goes, well, we weren't thinking with 14 minutes to go in the game, but we did have a nice lead, and love how he played, and the crowd got behind it, and it made for a fun and entertaining day as well, with Siebe's 1,000th game, and 3 guys playing their first NHL games in one night too. So it was a lot of interesting things happening in that game.
The other question that came up the next morning was, and I'm not sure who raised this, in other sports sometimes they'll go around and figure out an emergency backup at a position. Did anybody ever punt, or did anybody ever play quarterback? But there's no equivalent to that in hockey, is there? I mean, you have to have a goaltender. You don't go up and down the bench and say, hey, whoever put on the pads here and played goal.
Well, this is only a new thing that's come up over the last little while here with the emergency guys in the rinks. And they're there for both teams. So in the past, you might have to be in a position where you'd consider somebody throwing on the pads.
And, is that right?
If something would have happened to Scott Foster that night, it would have been, what would we have done next? And so maybe that
Jay
was
Blunk.
Be,
that Jay Blunk time.
There you go. There you go.
Blunk in the pads. Did you ever have to play goalie?
My first year I played hockey, I was a goalie.
How about that? I bet you're
tough. It's tough on the mums, goalies.
That's too.
Listen, I know we're probably not going to catch up again for a little bit here, but we'd love to have you back to talk a little derby in a couple of weeks. I hope you can do that for us.
And I look forward to seeing you at convention. And this too shall pass, because I like everything you just said. And by the way, John McDonough stepping up yesterday, great. But you get a vote too. So on behalf of every Hawks fan, thanks for coming back next season.
All right. Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go. That's the coach, Joel Quenneville, sponsored by Super Joe. Did you know that?
Thanks,
Super Joe,
Joe
sponsored that segment? We'll come back. Have some texts of things you missed from when you were a kid. Texts are still coming in with things you missed from when you were a kid.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Being laughed at here in the studio. Not without reason.
It's funny because we all see it coming. You were just trying to get into the computer.
I was trying to get into work day to take care of a corporate issue.
That is due today.
That's due today because why work ahead?
Right.
Which reminds me, I got to get my extension done for the IRS in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, God, yeah.
But work day is now owned by Microsoft, and it wouldn't accept my Microsoft credentials or my Tribune credentials.
I think
so. Apparently, I don't have any credentials.
Yeah, for the last 2 months, we've been getting these emails from the person that's in charge of that saying you have to do this two-step authentication.
I thought two-step authentication was voluntary.
No, you have to. They kept saying have to. And then Stephanie sent out a few follow-ups about you have to do this because you're not.
Can we hire somebody to read my email?
You're not going to be able to get into it. It's funny. You we're moving to new space, and I heard you tell the computer guy, our tech guy, that you're like, I don't need a desktop. I never use a computer. And then...
I never use a computer because I always use my phone.
Right, but then you spun around and you started using a computer right after you said that to him. And it's like,
because I'm attracted to antiques.
Yeah.
I turned around to our computer, which, by the way, I've never seen Microsoft 75 run so well. all right, texters, what do you miss from when you were a kid? What do you miss from when you were a kid? How about this? 708, I miss sitting in the rear of the station wagon, facing backwards, looking out the back window.
I was always jealous of those.
Oh, loved yeah. That. My dad had
never
one of those.
Had one.
And it faced back.
Dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, of course, no seatbelts.
I grew up
there. You're not even a grandfather yet,
man.
I
know.
I don't know what I'm saying.
708 koala yummies and Dunkaroos.
Oh, see, Dunkaroos.
That's the chocolate kangaroo thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, and I remember the koala yummies. My kids ate them.
I like those.
630, yes, McDonald's fried their apple pie different than they do now. Mary.
Yeah, I got a text, an email on there too, Mary.
I didn't say it wasn't different.
You said it's the same.
You said it's exactly the same.
It's the same box.
You said it's totally the same. You said we were wrong.
Someone emailed me, it's a slice. Okay.
It can't be as good as the old ones because the boxes don't get greasy.
Right.
Well, that's true. Because they don't use good fat anymore.
Brad Most, brother of Dr. Kevin Most. Mm-hmm. Charles Chips. They used to come in a big can.
Oh, we never had those.
Yeah.
We always had those Jay's chips, and half of them are burnt all the time.
Burnt chips.
Two bags in a box.
Yeah, like burnt chips. I like burnt chips.
You know what?
In a perfect world, all of my chips would be burnt.
Hmm.
608, Buitoni's Toaster Pizza. What is that? Buitonis.
I don't know.
I know Tony's Frozen Pizza.
Oh, Buitoni's?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
262, Snickers. I'm sorry, Snurkles, the caramel cream swirl candy.
Oh, yeah.
They make mini ones now?
That was like a bullseye, wasn't it?
They're called Snurkles?
No, I don't think so.
They were just bullseyes.
What's a snurkle?
312, I miss my innocence.
Yeah, don't we all?
Speaking of which, funny story, when I was 7 years old, I fell out of my mom's, the back seat of my mom's car because we didn't have seat belts back then.
My sister fell out of the car multiple times, and then my parents yelled at her.
For falling out?
Yeah, she opened the door.
Mm. Well, I was leaning on the door, but we didn't have seatbelts to stop me from going.
I used to ride all the time in the back of a pickup truck with like eight of my idiot cousins, and we'd stand up.
We'd stand,
and,
You know, did that all the time.
You used to have the dog back there,
and your hair was in knots.
Remember on the school bus when you try and sit?
No, mine was. I wasn't bald when I was a kid.
In the school bus when you try and sit in the back of the bus so you could bounce and try and hit the top of the bus.
Yeah, remember sitting in the back of the bus and flipping off the car behind you?
No,
that was just the people I was with. 630, Cinnaburst gum.
I like Cinnaburst.
Cinnamon flavored gum with cinnamon pop rocks in it.
Yeah, it like.
224, Jack in the Box tacos. Don't they make those still?
I mean,
we don't have Jack in the Box here, but don't they make Jack in the Box tacos?
Nick DiGilio said they did.
Maybe this guy moved. I miss where I used to live.
Yeah.
224, I miss being a kid because it was stress free with a lot of happiness and no worries. I miss Venture in Circuit City.
Venture.
Corvette.
Venture
smelled
Venture.
Weird. I thought it smelled
Venture
weird.
And Zare. Those were the big stores.
I like Corvettes.
Corvette's the store?
Yeah, that was way back.
708, Steve, I want to let you know that the old-fashioned candy store in Berwyn carries everything you're talking about. Love the show. Thank you for that.
Our boss, Todd, said he likes those Snaps black licorice things.
Oh. Yeah, well, he's sick and twisted.
Yeah. Nobody likes
them. Something wrong with him.
I like those. Yeah. Oh, I do.
We're back with the news in a second. And hi to everybody at CLTV. Thank you for letting us play on your TV station at CLTV. Smooth transitions. It's what I majored in. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
916. The November elections are, as you could tell by your own calendar, several months off. Having said that, Pritzker and Rauner are pounding on each other already. And yesterday, J.B. Pritzker came out hard against Governor Rauner. Was it 2 days ago now? I think it was yesterday. Talking about the fact that the governor wants to provide opportunities for kids who are economically challenged to go to better schools by way of scholarships and things, and tax credits for those that help. Pritzker said he wants to do away with it immediately and went hard after Governor Rauner on it. Here to discuss it, Evelyn Sanguinetti, the lieutenant governor of the state of Illinois. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
I appreciate you being on. So, from the governor and your standpoint, what is the argument here?
Right. So it's I'm surprised he's even making such an argument. You know, this is a bipartisan scholarship program, and it's to help low-income students. This is a personal offense to me because I was saved by an educational opportunity.
Right.
I'm one of those kids that was raised in a very poor community and failed the first grade, and it was an educational opportunity in high school that saved my life. And for this man to get out there and say that that opportunity is not going to be available for kids in underserved communities is just astonishing to me. And I think it's a sign of what you should expect to come from somebody like Pritzker.
Isn't it? Don't we get to kind of dangerous waters here, Lieutenant Governor, when we're talking about, number one, increasing taxes in general, but then taxing people of various income levels based on how much they make?
Yeah, well, that's very dangerous territory, not to mention that I don't know where he's been. We've been in a fiscal shortfall for decades. And so that's what he needs to focus on. He needs to focus on what Bruce Rauner has been focusing on, which is growing our way out of our problems, create a background so that businesses would want to come to Illinois and do business in Illinois, and he's not doing that. So I just think that we all need to take a look at Pritzker and accept him for what he is. And I think that this first hit that he took at this bipartisan scholarship program for low-income students is a good sign for us all to take in. Because, again, this was a measure that took a very long time. You folks know that for decades, politicians kept kicking that educational can down the road. And it's been with Bruce Rauner that we finally have an equitable funding formula for kids in all 102 counties. It's been Bruce Rauner that's given the most money for education funding. And it's been Bruce Rauner that has offered this bipartisan scholarship program. So I just ask the public to please tread with caution, to please do their reading.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
Pritzker is very dangerous.
Yeah, do your homework. Do your homework all the time. You don't have to take the lieutenant governor's word for it or my word for it or anybody else's word for it that you hear. Do your own homework so that you are satisfied. But don't stop where your beliefs are met. Do your full homework and find out why there's two sides to an argument. Now, I think an important piece of this that we haven't discussed yet is Governor Rauner's made no secret of his support of charter schools through the years. This, and what's the big argument against charter schools? Takes money out of the public school system. There is nothing I have seen in this measure, this bipartisan measure, that takes a dime away from public schools. Is that true or not true?
You are correct in that regard. You are correct. And again, you know, I'll bring it over. You know, I was just on the west side with LaShawn Ford, Representative LaShawn Ford, who is on the other side of the aisle. But he was one of the people that said that this bipartisan scholarship program is good for his community because it gives children access and opportunity. And that's what it's all about. It's not about Republican. It's not about Democrats. It's about giving our children in Illinois access and opportunity so that we could all have a playing field that is equitable for all of us. I've been there. I've been in underserved classrooms
right.
where we didn't have that sort of access and opportunity. And let me tell you, it's devastating. And these children should not feel like they're children of a lesser God because that access and that opportunity is not available to them. So please do your homework. Tread with caution because education should not be in the middle of all of this for Pritzker to kill.
Appreciate you coming on. And I would also invite folks to, if you are curious about what the Rauner Sanguinetti campaign is doing, send you to the campaign website, which is what? I don't have it in front of me here. Do you have it in front of you?
BruceRauner.com, I would assume.
Is it BruceRauner.com? I think it might be BruceRauner.com. We got to look that up. Anyway, thank you, Lieutenant Governor.
Thank you so much. Have me on again. We're in this opioid epidemic, and we're doing a lot of work to end this epidemic, and I'd love to talk to everybody about that.
Absolutely.
And then we'll turn it up to something happier.
Listen, success on all fronts. Thank you.
It is BruceRauner.com.
BruceRauner.com for the campaign.
Yeah. You know, as someone who went through all public schools in Illinois, I mean, I went to public grade school, junior high school, high school as well. I don't understand this because any sort of change to how your tax dollars go towards schools would be changing the state constitution. So if you want to be taxed based on what you make.
Yeah, I can't say I've done enough research on that end of the argument, but this particular measure that we're talking about here. Which could be funded by you or funded by Dave in part.
Right.
In exchange for some tax credits to help these kids. This is not the traditional charter schools are taking money from public schools argument.
Right.
This is a good thing by all counts. And it's a weird thing for Pritzker to jump on. That's what I don't understand.
Very true. Do the research on it. It's a confusing story, but it's interesting.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Texters, what do you miss from your childhood? This came up early in the show, and the texts have been flying in all morning. I miss the red, purple, and orange Tic Tacs.
Like, I like the orange ones.
Can you get them anymore? Apparently not.
I think so. You can still get them maybe at Walmart.
I thought you could.
Okay. And actually, you know what? I bought Tic Tacs the other day. I thought they were peppermint, the white flavor, but they were like mini gum. So Tic Tac has a gum now.
No, that's not right.
Yeah, you can get the orange ones. And you can get they have the multicolors. They don't have the purple anymore, though.
Oh, wait, this is the look-alike Dynamints.
Oh.
Dynamints. The Dynamints are gone that look like Tic Tacs. There you go.
Okay.
Steve, I missed the cartoon in Double Bubble Gum and the ability to chew the gum without fear of having your crowns ripped out of your teeth.
That is delicious tasting gum.
I was never a gum guy.
I like to suck on it first to get
ever,
it soft.
Never, ever, ever, ever liked gum.
No?
Ever.
We were gum people.
A lot of gum.
Yeah. You still are a gum person,
yeah,
Andrea.
I do. Do you have fresh breath?
6-3-0, I missed the fact that I played outside all day with my friends. We made up games, got dirty in the summer. The good humored truck would come by, and we had ice cream. No phones, no video games.
Didn't you guys love the ice cream man?
We did.
Oh, God. That was the best.
Yeah, and the kids are like zombies. You hear they'd hear the thing from miles away, and they'd go, must have ice cream.
They'd chase it down, yeah.
708, falling asleep in the car on the way home because you were so tired from all the fun you had.
Yeah.
That's a good kid
still
memory.
Do that.
You still do it now?
Mm-hmm, okay. Sometimes.
708, I miss the family, parish, and company picnics. I remember going to my dad's company picnic.
Oh, my God.
That was probably five. So what, the 1966, 67? It's the last company picnic I think I ever went to.
But you like him as a kid. Does any adult miss the parish picnic?
Probably.
We still go to our, like our church picnic. But that's a bigger deal. Yeah, that's a bigger deal.
Those Greek ones are huge, yeah. I know because the parents used to get drunk at ours.
Yeah.
And I remember one year, my parents are very young. They're the same age as Dave. And
she said they're very young.
And I think when I was in kindergarten or first grade, my mom, who was only, you know, like
12,
26 or something, she wore really short cutoff jean shorts.
So did Dave then.
And I remember the other moms were talking, you know, Debbie in her shorts, and I was like, my mom's hot. And
and all the other moms are jealous.
That's what I remember from the St. Joe's picnic.
217, my 61 Chevy Standard shift 3 in the tree.
White lightning.
3 in the tree like a car thing? 6-3.
It would be like 4 on the floor.
That there you go.
Pick up six.
Six for you. I miss stopping at a gas station and looking through a rack of Archie comics. How about stopping at the gas station and the guy comes out, pumps your gas, and wash your windshield?
Yeah, and checks your
oil.
We
have a full service right in our house. Remember if you want to go on that side, you can.
I'm good. 815. I miss Church's Chicken. Can you not get that anymore? I thought
there's
Church's Chicken
at,
was still around.
There's one at 35th and State, or 35th and Michigan.
Isn't there one over by the United Center, right? On Ogden?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Brown's Chicken. There's not many of those left either. I love Brown's.
I think there's some Brown. I see them
there's
around.
There's not as many
111th
as there used
Cicero.
To be.
847. I missed the little dots on the paper you could eat.
Oh, but you always ate paper.
Oh, yeah. Dots.
Those were no awesome.
Good. They're yeah.
Not.
Like
dots.
Licking paper.
Not dots. But those are the ones that
you
were
can have
on
some paper right now and lick off of it.
Yes.
It's like those flying saucers.
If you want to lick on paper, just take some out of the copier.
I didn't say I'm going to lick the paper.
773. I miss Yoho potato chips from Jay's. I don't know.
Those were in the box.
Yeah, in the box. Yeah.
Don't know. 847. I miss growing up in a small town, being able to ride my bike to the store and getting a Coke up from an outdoor Coke machine with a lid on it. Had the racks, and you would slide the real bottles out of the racks once you put the money in, unless you were my cousins John and Mike, where we would go, and then we would, John was littler, and we would hold him up, and then he would be able to drink out of the bottles because we brought a bottle opener from home and stuck a straw in the pop.
Oh,
I was the lookout. I was the life of crime at that point.
I'm lucky
I'm alive.
We used to take the bottle caps out of those machines with a magnet because you use them. If you collected the whole set,
yeah,
you get these mini bobbleheads.
Sweet.
Of NFL players.
Sweet.
Our kids still do that, but they ride their bikes up to Starbucks and they get Starbucks that they ordered with an app.
That's very similar. The kids are drinking Starbucks.
Can you see Patrick someday going, I miss riding my bike up and using the app?
Patrick gets a bacon gouda and a smoothie, and Catherine usually gets a lemonade.
Now I just sit home I blink and the coffee shows up.
Mary, I would practice this. No.
That's just what do you give them, a 20?
Oh, you're telling Mary to say no?
I am. I'm not buying my kids Starbucks.
Their app reloads. Nobody ever exchanges cash.
708, I miss clackers. Remember clackers, the two balls on a string? You put your hand up and down and go, clack, clack, clack.
It hurts if you get hit with that.
Yeah, you know why? Because if you're a brother, you would use them to hit somebody.
There you go.
312, Bazooka Joe gum.
I like that gum.
There you go.
920, I miss being able to eat multiple yellow zingers without gaining weight. 219, Dunkin' Donuts with the Dunkin' Donut. It had the little donut handle on it.
Oh.
Donut handle.
That's the one that I thought looked like a Q.
They made it. Yeah, exactly. It looked like a Q. They had the little thing on the Dunkin' Donut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like a cake donut.
It was like an old fashioned, right?
It was like a pound cake donut. Yeah, no old idea. Fashioned.
815. Remember the candy called Bun that came in vanilla or maple with ice cream and peanuts?
Mm-mm.
708. Bub's Daddy Gum.
That sounds dirty.
219, Chiclets and Fruit Stripe gum.
Love Chiclets and Fruit Stripe.
630, Fudge Sticks. You could buy those like in the cookie package.
We still have them. They still have fudge sticks.
Can you still get them?
Yeah, I'm in the cookie aisle a lot.
630, Bubblegum Cigarettes.
Yep, I like those.
Good.
I like to poof the smoke, you know, the powdered sugar, whatever that was.
Yeah.
You know what ruined that for everybody, though, when they started coming out with bubblegum meth? That's when they stopped making it. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And 847, did they still make Chunky Bars? I remember Chunkies.
They do still make those.
The one block of chocolate, and it had raisins in it.
You know, I know they make those. Remember when Doc Emmer came in with the candy? He brought those.
Big old Chunky. 9:33. We need a break. Back with the headlines in a moment from CLTV and 720 WGN.
I believe I am psychic.
The Heat tonight, and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic!
Psychic!
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, the Sox had them right where they wanted them on opening day, except for the wind chill. And then in the final three innings, it all blowed up real good. And the thing is, you got to be patient this year because we're going to see more of that than less of that, I would suppose. But nobody knows more about pitching than Steve Stone. And Steve, am I right to worry that in a situation like we have with the personnel of the Sox, we're going to get plenty of hitting, we're going to get plenty of runs, but saves may be harder to come by?
Well, I would absolutely love to say, Steve, that you were wrong. But then again, I can't.
No, but you'd like to say that about most things I say, not just this.
We're going to see a few more of those adventures late. Look, if you don't have Craig Kimbrell, if you don't have Aroldis Chapman out in your bullpen, and if you might notice the Sox don't have that guy, then you have to mix and match. And then Ricky goes out there, he makes a move designed to go hitter for hitter to where he thinks he can get this guy out, not necessarily anointing a closer because he doesn't have one to anoint. And yesterday it was a team problem late. I mean, it wasn't just Soria who was the last guy to stand out there and try to get somebody out. And so it wasn't Infante who was the last guy who started the parade. It was pretty much a team effort. And when that happens, you just regroup, you come back. The off day is today, a day of reflection for the boys, a day of just gorgeous weather, and go out there, maybe go to the beach, do some nice things. And just forget about yesterday, because, look, this is a team that's in transition. We've known that for some time. It was a stated tear down and rebuild last year. That's when it started. And for all of the people who are very frustrated when yesterday happens, you just have to go back and remember we've had a couple of worst-to-first teams, maybe 15, 18 years ago, whatever it is. Take a look at the rebuild of the Cubs, and yes, it was a little shorter than people thought, but it was a teardown, and they suffered for a few years, and that's exactly what's going to happen here. However, we have to hang our hat in the fact that there are so many good young guys coming up that I talked about waves yesterday, the first wave of guys coming up, and that might be Kopech, that might be Jimenez, I'm not sure exactly. And then in the second wave, don't forget Dane Dunning. Everybody likes to talk about Lopez and Giolito in that Washington trade. Dane Dunning's going to be a major league starter. He's got excellent control, rated the best control in the organization. Luis Robert, eventually, Robert is going to get healthy when he does. The sky's the limit in his talent because he can run with big power. You know, we're waiting for the likes of Alec Hansen, Zach Birdie coming back from an arm injury. So they're going to come. When they come in waves, the first and second will be here in the not-too-distant future. I'm talking about in the next couple of years. And then there'll be a third wave. You know, don't forget about Zach Collins, the number one pick who's down there. Jake Berger, unfortunately, might have been the closest hitter to the major leagues, but tore his Achilles tendon, so he's down. But there's a lot of happy times in the future.
Let's talk about the starting pitching, Steve. And you expected Lucas Giolito to deliver what we saw from him when we talked to you last week. Lopez, Giolito, quality starts this past week. Carson Fulmer missed by one inning, but certainly a credible outing from him. Do you like what you've seen from the starting pitchers overall so far?
Well, I don't think Carson Fulmer, Dave, missed for any innings. I thought that was a very impressive performance.
No, I just meant statistically. I just meant statistically. He was one inning shy of the definition. I was nitpicking.
Oh, you're talking about a quality start.
Quality
starts a 450 ERA. It's a quality start if your team scores more than three runs. Way to go,
right?
If you get beat 3-1. So, you know, quality starts is in the eye of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice to keep your team around. And, you know, on a positive note, this team has played six games. This team has been in six games.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting blown out early. You know, they're giving some games away. Let's face it, the defense is okay. You know, it's not good. There's some flaws in the defense, and there's going to be. You know, Ricky played a hunch yesterday because of the speed and the power from both sides of the plate. He played Lurie Garcia in left field, and Lurie, who made a wonderful catch the night before in Toronto, it wasn't necessarily that bad a physical play, but the mental preparation for that play was lacking. That is, you got a man at first base. I don't care what you have to do. I don't care if you have to eat the baseball. You cannot let it get by you. So you play it into a single. I mean, it's Victor Martinez running. They didn't have big speed on the bases. Victor sliced that base hit. Lurie's got to go over and just knock the baseball down, regardless of what happens, because it's going to be runners at first and second. You're still going to have the lead, and you still only need one out. So it was thought process as well as physical execution. Lurie is an okay outfielder. At times he can be very good because he has big speed. But that time he just caught up and, call it a mental block. Maybe one of those things that he could have thought out a little bit better and thought about the fact that regardless of what happens, can't let the ball get by me, because if it does, it's tie game. We saw what happened, and I don't think that mistake is going to be repeated. I don't even think they really had to talk too much to him, because I truly believe he understands what he did.
Sure.
It was just, again, you're not anticipating the baseball coming to you. What do I do when it
when it does come to me, then think it out ahead of time so there's no surprises when the ball does get to you.
Are kids now, because of the ESPNization of the world, are kids now more likely in the bigs to try to make hero plays than they were in your day?
I think so. I really do. And I think that's pretty observant because, you know, every time you take a look at it's the MLB network, it's ESPN, it's everywhere you look. Look at various spots on the internet, and you look at different sites, and they'll all have great plays. This guy made a great play. This guy went over the wall to catch the ball. This guy had a diving play, and boom, you're one of the stars of the day. But sometimes good solid baseball wins the day. I love highlight reel plays. However, there was a guy a few years back, and not too far back, by the name of David Eckstein. And David has two world championship rings, and he had it with the Angels, and he had it with the Cardinals. The reason why he has two rings is that his nickname was Just Enough. Whatever it took, he was able to do it. He wasn't flashy. He was never spectacular. But when you had to have a double play turned, he turned it. When you had to have a bunt, he bunted it. When you had to have a hit and run, well, he was successful at that. That's why he was so well received by his teammates, because he was selfless. And that's the key to a team that's going to win. You know, when you feel you're not going to win or you're out of it, you become a very selfish player, because let's say you're 22 games back, you come up, man at second, nobody out, you ground to second, you move them to third, but it's 0-for-1. But if this is not a team effort, if this is not trying to get that team to win, then suddenly that 0-for-1 doesn't mean anything. So what you do is you try to hit for yourself. You try to pitch for yourself. You try to do everything you're doing out there for yourself. And because this league, better or for worse, pays off on statistics. They don't pay off on ground balls to second, moving the runner from second to third, unless you have a winning team, unless it's very important. Now, Ricky's done a good job in teams that probably are not going to compete for a bit of imparting to his guys, you know what? You have to move that man over, because it's like muscle memory. If you learn how to do it, the next time it's easier. And the next time it's easier, he's laying the foundation for winning baseball. That is a selfless baseball team. But that only is a team that eventually is going to win. And this team knows in a couple of years they will. So I think they're all going through with what Ricky and his coaching staff is imparting.
Not going to warm up till next week. What's the coldest game you ever remember playing in?
The first World Series game that I was scheduled to be involved with, I woke up in Baltimore, which is, you know, mostly fairly moderate temperatures, and I looked outside and I thought I slept through the World Series because there was about 4 inches of snow on the ground, and I went, oh my God, it's November. Looked at the calendar and went, yeah, well, we got lots of snow. That was a bad one. There's been other times. I mean, some games in Chicago with the wind blowing. Number one, the wind blowing straight in. It was absolutely awful. We've had lots of awful weather here, too many to count. And when you're born and raised in Cleveland, and you know, you start your first game in high school, and it's 34 degrees, and it's snowing, and it's raining, and it's muddy. But you have to play games in that weather. You get used to it. So if you're a Midwest, if you're an Eastern guy, you get used to that kind of stuff. But you know, we have a lot of Latino players, not only on the Sox, but everywhere all over baseball. They're used to playing in warm weather consistently. I'm not saying they all get off to slow starts, but a whole lot of them did.
Sure.
That doesn't presuppose that it's only the Latino players. Ryan Sandberg made the Hall of Fame, and he notoriously got off to very slow starts. Some guys just have to get their rhythm. And one thing to understand, you know, you're playing in Arizona, you're playing in Florida, you're playing in 85-degree weather. All of a sudden you come back and it's 34. It's tough to get the feel for the ball. Hitters don't want to hit inside fastballs because their hands are singing to them into the seventh inning. So it's the advantage of the pitcher if he can get loose. I personally got off to pretty quick starts because I was used to it, but I can understand the guys who don't because they're not used to it. And also, bear in mind something else. You're playing a whole lot of day games in spring training. They mix in a night game or two, but then you start the season, and for the most part, first month of the season, you're playing almost all night games, so you have to get used to that also. So there's a lot of things that go into it, but it always has been. Some guys get off quickly, some guys slowly.
Great talking to you as always. The information, invaluable, from the great Steve Stone. And God willing, you'll never dump four in Rays Creek or anywhere close to it the next time you're playing Augusta.
Thank you. I'd have to drop it out of my bag because right now I'm not swinging the club at all. So,
but
I'd love to give it a shot. Take care, guys.
All right, see you, man. CLTV and 720 WGN. We continue. Bill and Wendy are here. Man, text question just blew up today. Stuff I miss is from being a kid. It was things I miss when I was a kid. Shake a pudding, lava soap because he used to rip my hands off.
Oh, yeah. It was gritty.
Shake a pudding was the best. Did you
Grandma's
remember that?
Gravy.
That's your rapper
Grandma's
name,
gravy?
Isn't it?
You were shake a pudding for a while.
For a little while, I was shake a pudding.
Playing in mud puddles with my bare feet, flashlight tagged, ghost in the graveyard.
Oh,
ghost in the graveyard.
I want to be a kid again.
Yeah. Getting free air for my tires.
Remember
and then
that?
This one, yeah. I miss not knowing what an STD was.
It's a Ford.
No, that was a limited.
Oh, limited. It's a race
LTD.
Car with the thing.
Yeah, remember those? SSTs.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
SSTs.
Bobby Slayton coming up. What else for you guys?
Dr. Demento.
Bobby Slayton, Dr. Demento, Alexander Zelvin from Decider.com, Ronnie
Alexander
Chang.
Alexander Graham Bell.
Alexander Graham Bell, Russ Markan from Walking Dead, all in one show.
And Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Alexander Solzhenitsyn will be there.
Yeah, all coming up. Hey, have a nice weekend. See you Monday.